Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with bringing you the very best from the vast teaching and preaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Monday evening. Throughout the Bible, ministry has been described as work. In today's message, Bishop Dag will teach you from his classic book, What It Means to Become a Shepherd, on how you can walk in the office of a shepherd and take up the work well. Shepherding God's flock is one of the highest privileges a Christian could ever receive, and after today's word, you'll be more equipped to be an effective shepherd. Listen and be blessed.
Welcome to Testimony Time. Today we have Princess here with us, all the way from First Love Abuja, Nigeria. Let's welcome our sister Princess to share with us her testimony.
My name is Princess Etsuka from First Love Abuja, Nigeria. Today my testimony is about how God supernaturally provided me with miracle bodies through the prophecies of our prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. As at Tuesday during the flow prayer meetings in one of the offerings, Daddy mentioned that as we give, we're going to receive a financial increase. Prior to that, Daddy also said that money would never be an issue for us. For some time now, I've been having money issues. Most times, I literally have about 59 in my accounts for weeks until I receive some pocket money from my parents in bits and pieces. So during that offering, I was about to give a certain amount of money, but Daddy made mention and said that we should believe God and we should double it. And I really didn't have much in my account, but I decided to obey and give the offering.
That's amazing, because Prophet always says faith is your obedience and your obedience is your faith. She said when she heard the word that give a double of your offering today, she didn't want to give because she didn't have enough, but she decided to obey, and your obedience shows your faith and faith will guarantee your miracle. Wow, that's amazing. And Princess, what again happened?
Later that day, I received 3 credit alerts in the evening. That was 75% more of what I had in my account. And I was so shocked and happy. I started wondering who could send me this money. I started thinking about my friends, my cousins, and anyone. But then I remembered the prophecies of our Father that as we give, we would have an increase.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. Wow. She said she instantly got a mobile money alert. Someone decided to send her money. You know, it's supernatural. As I've woken up today, I don't feel like sending anybody money. But if it does occur to me to send somebody money, the Bible says that God will cause men to give unto your bosom. So I believe that an angel triggered somebody to send her that money that she received. Wow, Princess, don't you agree with me?
This can only be God, because if it was ordinary, at least one credit alert would suffice. I just want to thank God Almighty and thank our Bishop for leading us in prayers. I also want to encourage those who are not flowing to take the flow prayer meeting seriously, because a blessing is waiting for you right there.
That's amazing, and that's so powerful. And today I want you to have an expectation as you watch this flow prophetic encounter service. I want you to believe. The Bible says that when Peter and John were going to the temple, the beggar stretched forth his hands to receive something. So today, believe that God can give you something and stretch forth your hands in expectation. I believe a miracle is coming your way. If you believe it, right in your home, wherever you are, shout "Ee!" and put your hands together for that wonderful testimony.
Testimony, I love you. Hallelujah. Father, which art in heaven, thanks so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Did you enjoy, you may be seated, did you enjoy that amazing choir from Dominica? Is it not nice to see the beaches and the places to go for holiday and for mission after Corona? Hallelujah. Grenada and Dominica. Grenada, you've just heard these words, but now you are seeing them because, and we are just about to start a project of about several cathedrals in the Caribbean islands, all of these. We have not started yet, but we are about to start. Amen. And that is, we have already some, but we're going to start a series of cathedrals for our young missionaries. Build the church. I will build my church. Every island will be there. The isle shall wait for thee. Is it exciting? Is it beautiful? Is it amazing? Is it happening practically? Like we are saying it and it's actually happening practically. It's amazing. I thank the Lord for his power. I want you to turn to Malachi. Amen. Malachi chapter 3. And I want you to say, I have the secret of prosperity. I cannot hear you. Not a secret, the secret. The secret. Amen. There is a big secret of prosperity. And I want you to get that secret today. Amen. Bring ye all the tithes in Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? You've robbed me, guys. But you say, how can we rob you? We don't even know your house. He said, when you don't pay tithes and offerings, you rob me. Now bring ye all, not some of the tithes. Not January and February, then you left out March and April, May. Bring all the tithes. You can't steal some of the months. All right? All the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. You know, God wants his house to be a blessed house. A house with meat, money, sustenance. Amen. And prove me. Test me. Now, this is the only place you see God saying, test me and see. I don't know anywhere else where he says, test me. Yes, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But this one, he's saying, test me with money. Test me with money. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that there shall not be room enough to receive it. As for God, the things he gives are blessings. And when he's sending a problem, is a curse. And a curse has many, many facets. And a blessing has many facets. God seems to know how to do things. I don't think we know much about life. By the time you finish life, you speak differently. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing about not a novice, people that are not novices, and what they say and what they do. All right? And then after that, how to graduate out of novicehood. Now, verse 11. This is the secret. And I want you to say, I have the secret. It says, I will rebuke the devourer, the eater, for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. And neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Now notice verse 13. Are you listening? Yes. Your words have been stout against me. You know, God notices words. Things you say, comments you make about him. And he didn't like the way they spoke. And yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? When did we say? We haven't said anything. But God said, I don't like your comments. You got to watch out when you are speaking. Then they said, you have said it is vain to serve God. Verse 14. It is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? And now we call the proud happy. And you say that they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. All right? Then they that fear the Lord speak often to one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord. All this is connected to tithing. When God heard the comments, he said, what is the point in all this? And God said, a book of remembrance was written to mark those who fear God and that thought upon his name. Amen. Now, those who fear God, what's going to happen to them? Verse 17. It says, and those who fear me, they shall be mine, says the Lord. In the day that I make up my jewels. In other words, when the day comes when God is going to start separating, say, you are my diamond. You are my ruby. You are my sapphire. You are my pearl. You are my topaz. You are my emerald. You are my onyx stone. You are my what?
Platinum.
You are my gold. You are my this. When he starts arranging them, it's those who feared him and wouldn't make certain comments. You know, when you are in the church, better watch what you say. Because your words, Bible says, you are justified by your words. And you are condemned by just what you said. So your complaints and your murmuring and your discontentment and your criticism is the basis or one of the big bases for your judgment. So God is saying that, you know what? Those who've been making those comments, I've heard, but I've made up a special book. And that's a book of remembrance of those who fear me. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord. And when I make up my jewels, I will spare them. I will exempt them. Divine exemption from trouble, from issues, from certain things. I will exempt these people. This is a special blessing. Everyone say, I shall be exempted from the curse, from the trouble, from the evil, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I shall be exempted. So, when a man spareth his own son, you know, there are times, you know, that sometimes when certain things happen, you see that a certain judgment is definitely coming. But then you see that people now do not go by certain rules when there is a special person involved. So he said that although trouble was coming to everybody, when I saw that my son was included, then I said, I want to take my son out. So then your child is eliminated. That's why it's good to become a son or a daughter, because sometimes that may be the only basis for an exemption. Amen. Amen. Now he said, I will spare them. I'll spare them. Wow. Verse 18, beautiful. Do you like the word of God?
Yes.
You know, we don't have anything, only the word of God. Yes. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You see, when you are experienced, not a novice, when you are a novice, you speak proudly. But later, you'll realize that there is a difference. There is a difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So, God has great blessings for all of us, and it takes time. Now, when you go through the Bible, you see that there are many things which constitute a blessing. It is the more immature people who think of God and his blessing just in terms of money. There are many things that make a person blessed. You know, one time they were looking at the index of happiest nations, happiest countries. And a country like Ghana was ranking high as one of the happiest. We are not the happiest, but we were high. Yes. Not by money. No. Today, you know, when I was coming to the studio, I passed through a place. You would be not sure where you are. Yes, you will not be sure where you are because the usual way was blocked. You'll not be sure which country or where, or whether it is in the 20th century we are or another century. Because where I had to pass was about, it will be about the 14th century. Yes. You may never know limited. Yes. But we are happy. Yes. Always making fun of so many everything. Now, when you are not a novice, you start placing value on other things as well. Yes. Recently, I met three brothers. These three brothers were three married brothers. They're all married. And then there was a sister who was about to get married. So I brought the little girl who was going to get married to the three experienced brothers. And I said, what advice do you have? Any input for her? And you'll be surprised at the input from experience. None of them wanted money. None of them wanted beauty. One of them said, oh, if you be happy. You see, when you are a novice, you don't know what is the meaning of happiness. Yes. One of them said, if you wouldn't mind to lift up your head when I come. Amazing. But you see, money cannot buy the lifting of a head. It's amazing. So when God said that I will bless you, I'll pour you out a blessing, I'll give you money. What is money? What is money? That's why when people are paying compensation for things, sometimes they mention amounts. Like when a Pan Am got bombed. Remember Pan Am? There was a plane, Pan Am. It was flying from London to America. And they bombed it. There was a bomb in the plane. And the bomb went off when they got to Scotland. But when you leave England, you have to fly up through Scotland. And then it starts to curve over the ocean and it's going. So the bomb has been timed for, I think, about 1 hour after takeoff. You see, because you get to Scotland by 1 hour. So they were not yet over the sea. So they were all in the plane when the plane went off like that. Everybody in the plane died. They found them all over the place. Now, later on, when they found the bombers, I think it was from Libya or somewhere, the amount that they asked to be paid, I think 1 billion or something. Yeah. Millions, everybody. Because then they would say, but because somebody said, my mother and my father were on board. There was a number of mothers and fathers who were flying together. That's why some people don't fly together. There was a group mothers and fathers together. Then there was those who lost mothers only. Then there were those with fathers only. Then child, people's child. Some lost children, like maybe they are flying, traveling in a group. I mean, they have to pay the millions, of which after you've paid, you cannot get it back, no matter what you do. So that's why sometimes you hear the amounts, you just know it's even like rubbish. You might as well bring the dollars for toilet paper. You put it the dollars by the side of the toilet. Every time you take $100, you wipe. It is not doing anything for you. It's not bringing anything back. Children that you cannot give birth to again. Yes. So, that is why God chooses to pour blessings, not money. I'll pour you a blessing so that you'll be blessed in response to your tithe. And then he gives you things which, even if you use $100 as your toilet paper, you know, you see, you people, you don't know. One day, it's not that I want to, I'm old, that I'm telling stories. It is because of the word of God. Yeah. One day, I was driving with somebody in a certain country, and he was not driving fast. Then suddenly, he stopped the car, came out of the car, left me, and ran back about 150 meters back, picked something from the floor and came. When he came into the car, he showed me a note. It was about $500. He told me, this road, I always see money here. There's money on this road. I said, why? Because he showed me the hotel. This is where the Arabs come. When they come, they take the whole floor. They wee-wee, the children wee-wee into the ashtrays. They do everything. They come with their own car. Then they check in. As you are checking in suitcase, they check in their cars. They check the car in. Yes, from there. They check in with cars. And they land and they check out with cars. They come. They don't rent a room. They rent a floor. They rent the whole place. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm saying, people are using money as toilet paper. It doesn't mean they are happy. Many are not happy people. Many are sick. On drugs, on this, on that, you can see the faces have changed. So God said, I will pour you out a blessing. Are you listening to me? And that's in response to your tithing and response to your offerings. And one of the greatest blessings, he said, I will rebuke the devourer, the eater. Many people don't know, when you transfer from a country like Ghana or Cameroon or Botswana or any of these other poorer countries in Africa, and you arrive in nations like England, Germany, Switzerland, America, Canada, etc., what they don't know is that the devourers are multiplied. There's about 25 to 1. So like one human being has about 25 devourers dedicated only to him to eat his things. That is why they don't have so much free money. Because you would have expected that based on what you hear they are earning, do you understand? They should have freely been able to just give. And the Western Union will be flowing during the offerings in a certain way. But it's not like that because the devourers are there. So God promises, you see, and that's why I'm saying that the blessings of God are mystical and mysterious. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer, something that eats happiness, something that eats joy, something that eats your money, something that eats your life away. I will say to it, stop, go back. Go back. Go back. Leave him. Leave her. This is the secret of prosperity. It's not necessarily how much you are getting. But if God will stop the devourer of peace. What is the use of a plenty money without peace? Huh? Huh? Have you been to court before? I've been to court before. The psychological pressure of going to court, even if you are not guilty, you see that you pray that you will not go to court. And then prison is another level. Hey. So today God is promising us great blessings as we honor him with our money. So your money is not a payment for these things, but you must believe. You know, he said, your words have been stout. You say, what is the use of serving the Lord? Your words have against me have been stout. Strong words, strong comments. Comments that are some way. Huh? Your words have been stout against me. And you say, what have we said? You said things. And you said, what is the use of serving the Lord? Don't talk like that again from today. Father, in this offering time, everybody put your hand on your mouth. I want everyone everywhere watching, put your hand on your mouth. Father, forgive us for our comments, our words, our stout words against the Lord. Even they were all on our lips as we were thinking about you. Lord, cleanse us. We confess it. We are guilty. And Lord, we want to honor you. And we thank you that as we sow our seed, a blessing, not money per se, but a blessing, a rebuking of devourers and eaters of joy, eaters of happiness, devourers of peace, devourers of laughter, are rebuked in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the use of all that you have without even the sound of laughter? I'm asking you a question. The sound of laughter is taken away. And you have all this one there. Can you imagine a man sitting on the toilet with dollars like this? He uses one to wipe. Then he puts it. He takes another one to wipe. What is the use of it? Is it not a paper? It's a paper. It's a toilet. That will not be your story. Amen. A blessing will be found in your house. And no one will be able to say, what is the use? What is the use of a television? You know, one day I went to somebody's house. He has bought a television, but he has not removed it from the box. Oh. For so many months, he has no time. He's very busy to remove it from the box. How to get even a Saturday morning to just install it in the house? What is the use? Look at your chairs. What is the use? We couldn't sit on it. What is the use of your garden you couldn't see? What is the use of a car that you couldn't drive? No. I will rebuke the eater. The eater of what? People always think he's the one who's eating my money, but he's eating your happiness too. What is the use of the beauty of that one? When there's no, it's beautiful, but it's nothing to you. No feelings, no passion. No joy. Oh! Today is the end of the devourer
in the name of Jesus.
Declared in your life, in your home, in your happiness. I pray for it. I declare it to be so. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're gonna rise and build a mega church. We servants will arise and build a church. Building, building, building many churches right now.
Multiply the mission and faith you. Multiply the mission and faith you.
I glorify the mission, not be small.
I glorify
the mission, not be small. I will give you pastors according to my heart.
Multiply the mission and faith you.
With understanding and with
knowledge,
it shall come to pass. You'll be multiplied.
Multiply the mission
and faith. You'll be in blessing those days, says the Lord. Building many churches right now. You must pray and ask the Lord God every day. Increase us with men just like a flow. Let the churches be filled with lots of souls. And let the cities be filled with lots of men.
Amazing. Did you enjoy that amazing? I will glorify them. They shall not be small. All the way from Kenya. And I mean, we saw the animals and that we really felt the presence of practical that we were actually in Kenya. But we didn't see their cities very well. Want to know whether it's nicer than Ghana? How many want to know whether it's nicer than Ghana? So next time, we want to see their cities very well. But I think it's beautiful. Are you going to go to Kenya? How many are going to go to Kenya? Everybody's going to go there. At least once in your lifetime, these are important places to go, isn't it? Not to go and just sit there for a funeral, or God forbid, but you are going there to go and see animal. Don't say that, oh, what is animal? When I see, what does it do to me? You see, when you do that, you are behaving like a bushman. You get it? Don't talk that way. Your words are stout. Who is that? And the person is in which country? All right. Next, we have our church in United States of America. Let's welcome them to give us an amazing song.
Somewhere somewhere, go somewhere, preach somewhere, go somewhere, preach somewhere.
He that hath my commandments, and he keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love and manifest myself to him, yeah.
Will you love God when he loves you? Will you love God when he loves you? Go somewhere, preach somewhere. Go somewhere, preach somewhere.
Come to the most important part of the service once again.
It's time to hear the word. Amen. We've prayed, we've worshipped, we've danced, we've been blessed and ministered to by spiritual music. And now it's time for the word of God. Amen. I can't hear your amen. And I know that you're going to be blessed. Are you blessed by all the choirs from all over the world? Your church is huge. You're supposed to do this when you say huge. Paula, huge. Obey. Huge. God bless you. Amen. And I believe God is even taking us to more places for the gospel. Tell your neighbor, go somewhere, preach somewhere. And those of you watching on Facebook, comment as the preaching is going on. Say amen. Right. Say what a word. Right. Repost some of the scriptures to show that you're catching up. Your beloved may be on the online also and may see your comment. Somebody told me that he was watching. So a girl told me a boy came to talk to me because he was watching the flow service. And when I saw the comments that she was making, my heart was moved. So your beloved is online tonight. Shout amen. Paula, don't shout amen. Not yet. Amen. And it's time for the word of God. And I'm excited. As we go through the books, we realize that that's the evidence of the prophetic mantle and the teaching mantle. And I believe we're about to sit at the feet of the serenity of the teaching anointing. And I believe it's going to be a blessing. Amen. So if you are as excited as I am, then it's time to sing Nothing is Impossible. Everywhere has a song. This is our song in First Love. Let's sing it.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
With a cameraman joining in.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in
Switzerland, I hope you're singing. Harken to the voice
of God.
Botswana.
Is there anything to
Abuja, Nigeria.
Put your trust in God alone and rest upon
Antananarivo, Madagascar.
Everything.
Haiti. Join us if you believe that everything is possible with God. Otublo Umakra. Nothing is impossible.
Is impossible.
From Takwa to Kumasi. When you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible. Birmingham, Sheffield, Nottingham, and London. When you're trusting in His word. Hearken to the voice, Sweden.
To the voice of God.
Is there anything too hard in Dominica? Is it too hard in Dominican Republic? Is it too hard in America? In Canada? And let's rest upon His word. Fast love all over the world. Declare that every single thing is possible with my Jesus. Ooh, now put your hands together as we welcome our pastor, Job Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this great opportunity. Please lead us into your word. In Jesus' name we ask, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today, God is going to speak to you by His angel and by His Holy Spirit. Wherever the Spirit is, there are angels. Now, what it means to become a shepherd is my topic. And today, my topic is found in chapter 10 of this book, which is the ministry work or rest? Amen.
Amen.
Now, God wants us to become a nation of priests.
Hallelujah.
This is found clearly in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. He said, if you will obey my voice in verse 5, all right, and keep my commandment, you'll be a peculiar treasure. Amen.
Amen.
And verse 6, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak
and to the children of Israel. Amen. Amen. Now, how many want to be special to God? When you are special and you lose the opportunity to be special, sometimes when you are being specially treated, you don't notice it till you stop being specially treated. Then you find out that, wow, that was special. But when special becomes ordinary, it's because of familiarity, and sometimes it is because of stupidity. Isaiah 47. Look, notice it says, you will be a peculiar treasure. You will be a peculiar treasure. All right? Beautiful. Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. Verse number 1. Now, God was angry with his children, okay? And he decided to talk to them a little roughly. What do you think? Because he had told them, you're going to be my special baby. But they took it for granted. So in Isaiah 47, he said, come down and sit in the dust. Instead of sitting by me, you sit in the dust. O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. Wow. Are you going to sit on the ground? No, don't sit by me. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. No more throne for you. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Notice, God changes his mind. You see, we take special things for granted. And God says, I changed my mind. You know, you were special to me, right? I hold you in my arms. I sing to you. I play with you. I hope you understand. He says, thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. I'm not going to treat you that way no more. Tender and delicate, finish. Wow. Are you there?
Why?
He went on, said so many things. Then he said, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, and thy shame shall be seen. In other words, he's going to show you that you are nothing. Because your nakedness is what reveals how zero you are. How many realize that when you look in the mirror, it's equal to zero? Huh? Or less than zero sometimes. Is it not true? Yes. Because all the clothes we wear are to just cover up and improve the appearances. True or not true?
True.
True. Thy what? Nakedness. Your emptiness. Why? Verse 7. I mean, it's a lot of stuff, but this is just by the way. And thou said, you said, I shall be a lady forever. You see, in your mind, you think everything is going to be the same forever. No matter what happens, there can be no change. And then what he says, that thou did not lay these things to thy heart. You see, you don't think deeply about some of the special things that God does for us. That's why you lose them. And God is telling us that it's a very special thing to be made a shepherd. It's a very special thing to become his peculiar treasure. The peculiar treasure God was talking about was a nation of shepherds. A nation of priests. That's what's special to him. Because all nations doesn't have a nation of priests. Nations have nations of ordinary businessmen and people and whatever. But the peculiar treasure is the treasure of being a nation of priests and shepherds. And he says, you did not lay these things to heart. Are you there?
Yes.
Thou didst not lay these things to thy heart. So God, I've realized when you read the Bible, God changes his mind. You are special to me, but you didn't value it. So since you don't lay it to heart, bling, out. Huh? Now, he said, therefore, hear now this, verse 8. Thou that art given to pleasures and dwellest carelessly. Carelessly. You see, notice the word carelessly. And that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. You see, this again is what happened to Israel. They thought that we are the nation of the nation, special nation of God, this and that, you know. But God said, hey, I've treated you specially. You are so delicate to me. I've carried you on wings of eagle's wing, brought you to the Red Sea, did signs and wonders which are recorded in history today. But I'm nothing to you that you've gone to cut a wood and you are rather doing something with the wood. That wooden tree is what is valuable to you. Really? Really? Thou shalt no more be delicate and tender to me again. You will not be my special, whatever. Danny Obanaka, being special and being tender is a special thing. Yes. Ole, you didn't know that they are treating you tenderly. Read verse 1 again. He said, come on, faster, man. Come down and sit in the dust, oh virgin and daughter. Sit on the floor now. Sit on the floor. No, you no more be called tender and delicate. I won't treat you that way again. Because my special treating you as a nation of priests, honor, okay, is a special thing. We take things for granted when the specialness goes on sometimes for too long and you don't think deeply. That is why I want us to really appreciate all that the Lord has done for us, even as a church. We are sitting in one place all over the world. We are watching some on television. Some of you are no more using data. You are watching on television. We don't appreciate things. You are watching and whilst we are taking up, you can see cathedrals, church buildings, this and that. Practically, we do things before we even mention them. Because I don't like to do something that I'll ever say, give this, and then it's not used for that. So because sometimes there are things that happen between the giving and the doing, most of the time when you are giving, we have either started it or very advanced in it so that it cannot not happen. To avoid that scenario. But we don't take these things for granted. We live in nations, nothing is done, nothing changes. When we come to church, things are changing, things are moving on. You know, God wants us to appreciate. He says, you didn't lay it to heart. You didn't lay it to heart. You dwelt carelessly. So I want you to know that God is telling us today that he's the God who changes his mind. Thou changest not, but he is very rational and very intelligent and superior in his thoughts and his wisdom. And he wants us to be a nation of shepherds and priests. So as we are here, don't let us think there's anything too special. We don't lay it to heart. Which church do you have which has these books? Look at the Makarios. And the things, plenty. And there are more books that are not in this Makarios. Look at it. I'm showing them Makarios. Look at it. An all book for everything. Book for marriage. Book for this. Book for that. Book for everything. We don't lay it to heart. Yes. How to, how to, how to, how to. Huh? We don't take it seriously. So you see that some other group will come up and take the thing seriously. All right. So Ephesians chapter 4 in how to the ministry, the work of the ministry. I'm talking about what it means to become a shepherd. In other words, what it means to work. Okay. Ephesians chapter number 4. Amen. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All that you have to do is remove the comma. Just remove the comma, please, because the comma was added by the translators. When you remove the comma, the meaning of this verse changes dramatically. It says, for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. You see, so apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers are perfecting saints to work. Are perfecting saints so that saints will work hard. Do you see? Saints were raised up for work. Do you understand? I know this is the Bible, but if you had the power, you would have just been able to remove the comma, but you can't. If you remove the comma from after saints and the comma, please look into your, those of you in the house, don't just be lying somewhere. When we are preaching, now you are lying down and covered yourself. Is it in the night? Is it in the night? No, but ask yourself whether it's in the night. Okay, you can't lie down like that. That is a bad attitude. You must dress up. From next Sunday, everybody has to dress up on Sunday in the house. You can't just wear your pajamas to stay and come to church. You are going to wear your Sunday best and then take a picture and post on Facebook that you are in church. Wow. Yes. Wow. Is it beautiful? Yes. So from next Sunday, the only thing you'll be exempted from is shoes. Yes, you have to dress up everything but without shoes. But you can also wear your shoes. Yeah. All right? Beautiful. It's working. So God is telling us in the NIV of this, what do you call it? The NIV Reader's Version. Amen. What does it say? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. The same Reader's Version, he gave some apostles and some pastors. All right, he gave pastors and teachers. I want to read it from verse 11. So Christ himself gave the gift of apostles, the gift of the apostles to the church. He gave the prophets and those who preach good news. He also gave the pastors and teachers as a gift to the church. So pastors and teachers are given as a gift to the church. Is it beautiful? Now, and he gave all these people so that they might prepare God's people to serve. Then the body of Christ will be built up. All right? Do you have the NIV Reader's Version? Huh? You're getting it. You're downloading it. You should have downloaded it because I keep quoting from that. It's an amazing Bible, right? NIV Reader's Version. I'm going to read it again. Shall I read it again? It's different from all the other versions so far. It says, so Christ gave himself, gave the gift of the apostles to the church. He gave the gift of the apostles to the church. All right? And he gave the prophets and those who preach good news. So he gave, amen. And he gave some the gift of preaching the good news. And he gave some the gift to be pastors and teachers. No, I have NIV Reader's Version, please. Stick to my version, NIV Reader's Version. All right, now verse 11. So Christ himself gave the gift of the apostles to the church. He gave the prophets and those who preach good news. Full stop. And he also gave the pastors and teachers as a gift. Amen. To the church. Now, verse 12 says, he gave all these people so that they might prepare God's people to serve. Then the body of Christ will be built up. Is it beautiful? So God gave, I am an apostle, I'm a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, evangelist. Now, what am I for? I am a gift to the body, to the church. You see, that's why we don't talk about money. God doesn't say, I've given you money. No, the gift is the person. That person is the gift. Yes. The person is the gift. That is the blessing. Is the human being. People don't realize there are so many things far greater than money. You have your orientation in the world that money is everything, but it is not so. The person who is a gift, the gift to you is the human person that you see standing there. It's God's like grace and his dash or his privilege or his handout, his nice thing that he's giving you is the apostle or the prophet or the pastor. That is what the nice thing God has done for you, is to give you that person as a gift. Yeah. It's far different from money. All right? So ministry is, those gifts have been given to do what? To prepare the church to serve. So my duty is not to pamper you and to just prophesy nice things to you, how you are going to be rich, how you are going to be on top, how you are going to defeat your enemies, how your landlord will not be able to poison you. I mean, this is not the work of these gifts. It's to prepare you to become servants or to do the work of ministry. Amen. Now, saints are to be perfected for the work. This means that pastors are to perfect the saints so that they can join in the hard work of ministry. There was a man called Epaphras, a servant of Christ, always laboring fervently in prayers for you. This man was laboring. He wasn't resting. Throughout the Bible, I'm reading from my book. Since you haven't read it, I'm reading to you. Throughout the Bible, ministry has been described as work. Always described as work. When Jesus saw the multitudes who were fainting because of the lack of a shepherd, he said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The Greek word translated laborer is the word egates, which means a toiler, a teacher, a laborer, a worker. So egates or labor, amen, has an amazing meaning. It means to toil, to travail, to grind, to push, to drive. That's what God is preparing you for. To come and join in the pushing and the driving of the work. So you must become involved in egates, spelled E-R-G-A-T-E-S. You must become involved in that, which is the pushing, the grinding, the driving, the toiling, the sweating, the hard part of the work. Whereas in most churches, everybody's sitting there, bless me, pastor, find some three jokes at the beginning, three jokes at the end, and then some two stories, mention a scripture, don't say anything too hard, and please don't preach more than 35 minutes, and we have somewhere to go. We are going for family lunch at 12 o'clock. Wow. We need to be there on time. Don't go over time by even 5 minutes. That's not what we are in church for. Read your Bible. We are here so that the apostle, the pastor, will prepare the people to serve and toil, so that you also join in the drive and the push and the toil for the work of the ministry. That's what a pastor is for. All right? You can read it all here. The ministry is toil and sweat. I have found that out practically. Anybody who wants to be a shepherd must realize that he's not embarking on a game, but real work. He will soon realize that being a pastor is not in title alone, but it's real toil and labor. If ministry is work, what does it involve? What type of work is ministry work? Now we're going into what type of work. But I want to say that, you see, you'll soon find out, and a lot of lay pastors soon find out, that ministry is more than a title. People were happy to get the title. Oh, I've been appointed as a pastor. I've been appointed as a pastor. This is my certificate, and this is my appointment with my picture and my heart and my cross. But you soon find out that ministry is no game, it's work. And that is how come you have a lot of lay pastors who are like a river that was flowing and entered a pond. And now you can't see any movement anymore. You see a placid lake. You don't know, because when you see a lake, you don't know whether it's going or coming. It's just there. You just sort of go on it. That's why I was a bit surprised when I found out people really die in the Sea of Galilee. Because it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. It's just there, but it's apparently a dangerous place. Yeah. Every year people drown in the Sea of Galilee. Yeah. So when he rebuked the storm, it was a real danger. All the 12 apostles would have drowned. Yes. So, the work, sooner or later, you find out that, wow, this thing is hard work. Then they stop moving. And that's why many people, after appointment as pastors, they become a disappointment to the appointment. And they show us that we are really human beings, and that is why we made that appointment, not knowing that they are no nearer being pastors than being astronauts. You might as well have appointed them as astronauts. Do you know what is an astronaut? An astronaut is somebody who can fly a rocket to the moon. Yes. All right? That's an astronaut. An astronaut, usually you have to be an Air Force fighter pilot. First, you must be a very wild pilot and know how to maneuver at the top speed, because the kind of speeds and the pressures and the changes, you don't have to have sinus problems. You don't have to have headaches, blood pressure. There shouldn't be anything before you can just die. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, otherwise, the headaches, I mean, it will be too much. You'll be unconscious most of the time. Yeah. So you need to study maths, physics, and many things, rocket science, stars, everything, plus be an Air Force pilot, which is one of the highest levels of being a pilot. It's not this pilot that we have here. They go up, down, swirl, turn around, do many things. You get it? And then go to the moon and come back, and you need to be brave and courageous. So to be an astronaut is not a small thing. So you might as well have been appointed as an astronaut, the first Ghanaian astronaut, when we appointed you as a shepherd or a pastor, because you are very far from being a pastor. Yes. As soon as you saw the work, you dashed and you wouldn't do it. Yeah. Because work has certain important characteristics. Amen. And that is what people, when they find out that there is work involved, then they pull back. So I want to invite everybody to take God seriously and let us get involved in work. What are the five characteristics of work, ministry work? No one can claim to have joined the ranks of ministry workers until his activities have got certain characteristics. An activity moves out of the realm of playing and joking and pleasure into the realm of work when it has the following characteristics. Everybody in church must realize that you are moving to another level. Amen. Amen. If you are involved in ministry and your activity does not have these characteristics, you may be doing something related to the ministry, but it has not yet become work of ministry. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one, ministry has working hours. If you are part of the ministry as a lay person or a full-time person, you must have your working hours. Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't mean, all right, every true job has its own working hours. All right? This often confuses people. People think that pastors must be in the office from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. But we are not bankers nor accountants. We are pastors. No more banking hours for pastors. And nobody asks pilots to work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Everybody knows that their working hours are peculiar, and everyone accepts that reality. Amen. So everyone must accept that pastors have a time that they work. And what is the time that pastors work? We work, all right, you start to take hours, a certain time, and you give time. Amen. All right, you give certain hours, and you know that now my working time has come. And when it comes to the ministry, Sunday is your working hours have come. Yes, there are some jobs you work once a week. I mean, I know some doctors, they work 3 days and they don't work for, they work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They don't work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they work Monday, Tuesday. Some people work 2 days and then they earn enough for the whole week. Yes. So when we work on Sundays, we have done a work for a week. That's why when somebody invites you for Old Boys Association, they're having a party on Sunday. They like choosing Sunday for these type of meetings. Old, and then they'll say they're antisocial, family meetings, and so on. Sunday is our main day, working day. So when you call me on my main working hours, it's like calling somebody when he's working from 9 to 5 on Monday or Tuesday. It doesn't work. Yes, you come for whatever a meeting at 10 o'clock on Monday, it cannot work. All right? So Sunday is our main working day. Amen. And Saturdays, pastors are working. We had weddings yesterday. How many weddings? Three weddings. Three weddings. That means you have to be at this wedding, that wedding, all that. You can't say that we are resting on Saturday because that's the time that the work comes. All right? Number two, ministry work consumes a large amount of time. All right? When an activity consumes just a few minutes of your time in a week, it cannot be called your work. For instance, I drive my car for a few minutes every day, but my work is not driving. I'm not a driver. I drive it for a few minutes to take me to work. But doesn't make me that my profession is driving. But I drive. So, if you are going to become a lay pastor or a shepherd, you must know that some significant amount of time you have to give time. Yes. All right? If I'm to make driving a taxi, or driving were to become my work, I will not spend less than 8 hours a day driving. Then to me, driving would have become work. So you cannot claim to be part of the work of the ministry until it consumes a reasonable amount of time in the week. Give your weekends and your evenings to God. Yes. Why not, as a lay person, give your weekends and some of your evenings to God significantly? I am asking you, as the apostle of the church, I'm encouraging you to give time to work for God. Yes. Give weekends. Give your Saturdays. Give your Sundays. Give Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, evenings, Fridays. Give time for the work. And somebody said, why are you always going to church? Because I'm a worker. Church is not just attending things for me, but I am in the ministry and I am working. I have become a shepherd and I have become a pastor. Whether a lay pastor or a full-time, I'm giving a significant amount of time. I'm a full-time pastor, so I give all my time. A lay pastor, you give some time. Amen. Amen. By the way, I want you to know that the UD, as you know it, today we have thousands of churches and thousands of members, literally. It was built by lay people. I want to tell you, it was built by lay people. People who are not paid. Yes. It has been built by lay pastors. The church that we enjoy. All over. Pastors, they not give all their time, but they give enough time to be able to say that this person is a worker. Yes. Enough time. Almost every church in America was built by a lay pastor. Yes. Almost every church in England was built by a lay pastor. Of course, we have some people full time. But a layman can give so much time that it becomes significant. You see, as a doctor, I could work for some hours in the hospital. And you see that I work in the hospital. And I do actually give some amount of time. Are you with me? Yes. I do. So, the fact that you are not paid by the church does not mean you cannot give time, quality time, and enough time to call it a job. Yes. That is why many lay pastors, at a point in their life, they realize that they have two jobs. I remember one of our pastors, he told me that was before, he's now a bishop, he's in full-time ministry. He said, every time he was at work, the people used to ask him, where do you work? Like, apart from the work you are doing here. They suspected him. They said, are you a cab driver in the night? Are you working for another organization? Do we not pay you enough? What do you do? Because they could see that this man who has come to work, he has another job. Yes. He's tired on Mondays, especially. All our lay pastors, the good lay pastors are like that. They are all good. Amen. Yes. That is it. No, I'm explaining how the church was built. Every big church that is really large is built by lay people. Because you can never employ enough. Even now in the corona, pressure has started to build on our employment. Yes, we are starting to feel some pressure because a lot of things are also shut. Yes, and as much as we are still moving on, but we can feel it. Do you understand? Yes. So, people who are lay pastors, and God bless you, you know, lay pastors, you see that like they have, like they are people with two jobs. Why? It's because of the amount of time. As soon as you start to give enough time to something, it has become work. And you must accept to give time to it. And I'm calling on everybody here to join to give time to this work. Give enough time. Don't come and just say, I have to leave. Leave to go where? You have to be there. People need the Lord and people need attention. And people need people who are giving their time. Don't be too big. Look, I remember one brother who died. You see, when you die, that's when you see what's important. Do you know that? Eh? I remember one of our lay pastors, he died. When he died, he had even become, I think, a professor or something. But at his death, you know, the professorship, the degrees, the jobs he had, nothing. It's like everything was God, church, God, church. And I was a bit surprised as I was watching the proceedings. It's like, what will matter as you cross within either a few years or however soon it comes, it's going to be what you do in the church and what you do for God. So give your time. If you are doing it, do it well. Because a time is going to come, you will say, I want to go back. I want to go back. I want to go back. But you can't go back. All right? Number three, if you are working in the ministry, you are going to expend energy and money. And I'm calling on you to spend money to come to church. Do you not spend money when you are going to your workplace? Huh? Do you not spend money when you are going to your workplace? Do you not spend energy? Everyone must realize that doing the work of the ministry involves spending a lot of energy. Do not be surprised if you get tired doing the work of a shepherd. It's only a sign that the activity has entered the realm of work. You have now begun to do the work of the ministry in Ephesians 4:11. Don't most jobs leave their employees tired after several hours? This is because it is called work. Another thing you will expend is money. Does it not cost you money to go to work? Do you not spend money at work for lunch every day? It is the same thing with the work of ministry. You will spend your money in order to do the work. Someone may say, in the case of secular work, we expend money, but we get something back at the end of the month. Dear friend, your rewards and treasures will come one day in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 10. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I do not believe, and we still do not believe, in giving money to lay people to help them to pay their transportation when visiting sheep or coming to church. There are some churches, the whole choir is giving money to come to church. All the instrumentalists are giving money to play. All the ushers are giving TNT. Everybody is giving money to do whatever, because we say we spend money to come to the church. We come and we spend time here. We spend money coming to come to church. Don't you spend money when you are going to your workplace? And where ministry is work. I'm supposed to prepare you to work. If it's nothing to you, God will say, okay, I will withdraw from treating you specially. Yeah, you can just be ordinary. Amen. When people are ordinary church members, were they not spending money to come to church? Why do you have to give them money when they are ushers? Why do you have to give people money when they are choristers? Any pastor who is giving money to choristers, giving money to musicians, is not a bona fide pastor of our church system. So if you are practicing that, you have gone astray. There's nothing like that in any of our churches anywhere. It will soon become as though you were hiring people to do a part-time job. If you keep on giving everybody whatever and they come to work to sing, to do whatever, soon it will be like you are paying people for a part-time job. But people are working for the Lord, not doing a part-time job. You have not employed people to work. Very often, when you pay people, their attitude changes and it becomes more of, is this all I get for my hard work in the church? So when you are given transportation of 20 cedis, they look at the 20 cedis and say, ah, all the time I've spent here, I've been here since morning to evening. On Sundays, I come here. I never eat lunch in my house. I never see my house in the afternoon. On Sunday, I've not seen my house in the morning before. I've not seen my house in the daytime. I only see my house in the night. And all I've been given is 20 cedis. That's why you don't have to even give anything, because the money you give is like an insult. Yes. I have decided to let those who work for him, the Lord pay those who work for him. Make no mistake about this. Praying, visiting, counseling, and interacting with people is hard work. As you do this work, you will expend energy and money. When you begin to feel tired, just remember that it is a sign that you are really working for God. Amen. As soon as tiredness comes, you know that, aha, I have entered the realm of what? Work. Which is a great level to get to. As a lay person. Now, I'm mostly preaching to lay people. Don't think about full-time people. The full-time, we are few. And we'll always be few compared to the lay person, pastors. Amen. The fourth characteristic of work is ministry work is repetitive and regular. It repeats and it comes on regularly. There are two different words. Repetitive means that you keep on doing the same thing. And regular means that it comes at the same intervals of time. Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday. And you see that it has become work. Yes. Yes. Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday. See that it has become work. At first it was like, hey, Charlie, we are going to whatever. After some time you see that, hey, it's repetitive. And it's regular. By nature, listen, are you watching? Because all this is coming from Ephesians 4, that God has given us the work of ministry. That means we are going to have something that has working hours, something that takes your time, something that expends your energy and time, and something that is repetitive and regular. By nature, all real work is repetitive and regular. If the ministry is work, it will have features which make it repetitive. Sometimes you may be bored, but you just have to keep on doing the work. Praying, visiting, counseling, and interaction. There are times that I've been standing preaching, I start yawning. When I read the verse, because it's repetitive for me. What I've said it before. I see the people, I know their reaction, I know their response, I know how many points I have to go through. So I feel tired even when I see the point. I say, my God and my Lord, save your servant, save your anointed. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. Many pastors don't pray much, because they feel that it is repetitive and it is boring. But when prayer becomes your work, you have to repeat your prayers. And you have to pray regularly. You see, as soon as it's prayer work, it becomes repetitive. The same thing you prayed last time, you see that you are praying the same thing again. Yes, that's when it has become work. Epaphras labored fervently. But if it's not prayer work, it will just be, today, this an amazing God has given us a special revelation on dragons. So we are binding dragons. But after some time, see that we are taking the dragons on again. Before you realize, it's the 19th time that we are taking on the dragons. It's now become work. Because it's repeating. And it's regular. Yes. Confession of sins. We'll confess. You wait for Tuesday. We will confess our sins. You see that? Oh, you don't want to confess your sins again. Since you last confessed up to today, have you not sinned between the last confession and today's confession? Today? So there is need for more confession. Confession of sins. Confession of our mistakes. We need prayer for the Holy Spirit every day. We prayed last time. We still need wisdom for today. So it is the nature of work for something to be going over and over and over. And I want to encourage everybody who is called a lay pastor. Listen, thank God that you have entered the realm where the thing is repetitive. You go, you knock on the door, you visit people, you do whatever. But you see that it's the same work that I have to do. Yeah. There is a difference between a social visit to a friend's house and a pastoral visit. Pastoral visits must be conducted repeatedly by shepherds. Shepherds must intentionally go to the homes of their members on a regular basis. No one ever told me what to do. I have naturally wanted to pray, to visit, and to counsel my people. Now that the church is much larger, I feel deprived when I'm not able to know all my sheep personally. I struggle to know their names and to remember who they are. I wish I could attend all important family events. Anyone who is a true pastor has a natural care and does not need to be supervised. Don't we all go to work when we don't feel like it? Don't we all go to the same workplace repeatedly and regularly to sit on the same chair? Those who move to their work at 5 a.m., don't they drive regularly to the same place? 6 a.m., they are moving. They go to the same place, open the same room, and sit in front of the same computer. Don't they do that? They do it. In the same way, anyone who claims to be doing the work of the ministry must rise up and do the important work of a shepherd. We don't pray just because we feel like it. We pray because we have to. We must rise up early and intercede for the people God has given to us. Amen. Number five, characteristic of ministry work is supervised or unsupervised. Amen. In every field, a supervisor, there are two classes of working shepherds, those who need supervision and those who don't need supervision. Amen. Now you can see that I am trying to supervise shepherds and pastors by what I'm preaching. I am encouraging us, you know, and I'm speaking, I thank God I have access to people who are under some of our pastors, who, because of the way the pastor is, the church members may not hear from me directly. But because of the flow service, you are hearing me directly. And I'm telling you and I'm calling on you, do you understand, to do the work of a shepherd and to do it until it has these characteristics. Until you now you can see that Sunday is my working day. Yeah. You need to work for anybody who is, you know, one day a pastor went to visit one of our countries and then he got to church and they finished church and they went home. He was there for a few weeks. Then he called and said, the pastor in this country is not a real lighthouse pastor. I said, why? I said, oh, the afternoon, the church, the afternoon, they've closed in the afternoon, they've gone home. He said, I don't know that culture. That it's like he has a meeting by 12, 1 o'clock, everybody has gone. So he said, he's not a real pastor in lighthouse. Yes. And it's like they've closed, everybody is gone. So he said, there's something wrong with the pastor. We should check on it because he's not used to that. And there's something wrong with that church. That's how they knew. Because it's a working day. Sunday is a working day. There are people to visit. There are meetings to be held. There are endless issues to discuss. One sheep can take 3 hours. Do you know that there are some people, they are time-taking sheep? If the beloved comes to add, it can become 4 hours. Yes. And all these people are there. One person can take the whole day. Before you realize, by the morning, you have gone only one with two people. Yes. May you be an unsupervised shepherd. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Verse 7. Which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler. You know, you must believe God that you'll be somebody who doesn't need to be supervised. Yes. You work in such a way, nobody is supervising you. But you are working. Common sense. Hard work. Diligence. Caring for the sheep. Visiting the people. Following them up. That's the work of a shepherd. And that nobody has to come and wind yourself. Everybody go on mass visitation. You yourself will be searching for people that no one should be lost under you. Amen. All work. Listen, are you listening to me? All work falls into two categories. Supervised or unsupervised. There are two classes of working shepherds. Those who need supervision and people who do not. In every field, the supervised person is paid less than the unsupervised. Decide to be a shepherd who does not need to be told what to do, when to pray, whom to counsel. Your rewards in heaven will be even greater. Hallelujah. No one ever tells me what to do in ministry. I have naturally wanted to pray, to visit and counsel. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 verse 19. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus and so that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded. Amen. I have no man like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. Hallelujah. So God is calling on people. Now, years have gone by. It's been 35 years. All that I have tried to do is to be a shepherd to people. Following these principles, I realize that. That is where I've come to. So, the work of a shepherd, which is the four things, PVCI, prayer, visitation, counseling, and interaction. These four pillars. Watch me. Are you listening?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I started with a lot of people. God has blessed me, and I've prospered just caring for people. Yes. Many people meet me, they want to just talk with me because they know that I care for them. Yes. I've been looking after people for a long time, before some of you were born. Yes. You people may not know. Jesus said, if you love me, care for my sheep. Let me tell you something. All through, this is one of the reasons why when even sometimes we have Give Thyself Holy conferences, we have pastors conferences, I rarely speak about shepherding. Yes, I rarely talk about it. What people don't realize is that this is the key to showing God that you love him that people have neglected. Caring for the sheep. Feeding them. Talking. Even when I write books, I write out of the pastor's heart. Yeah. So that is why people enter the ministry and don't flourish. Because they are not shepherds. It's not from your heart. You don't care about nobody. You want a job or a title or a post. That's not why we are shepherds. If you are following, you see, you can never follow somebody until you follow his heart. Yes. As I'm in the First Love Church, what do the First Love members have? What do they have? What do they own? I hardly know any First Lover who owns a house and cars. Our church is made of buses. I stop talking about shepherding because I stand before people and I see that their ears cannot receive it. But if you ask me, what is the center of ministry? It's shepherding. It's the center which draws lovers. People who are committed to you for life. People who form the building blocks of churches. People who can be far away and they know that they have a certain commitment and a certain love. Yeah. Shepherding. It is the foundation. It's like preaching. It's the foundation. If you can't be a shepherd, you know, when you stand as an evangelist, you will not care for the people. Almost everybody who, whatever ministry you become, you have to pass through shepherding. Once you don't care for the people, how will you care for a soul? A soul has nothing to give you. A sheep maybe one day can give you something. You don't care for the people. You have not understood the greatest work. So I want to say that, you know, as I come to the end of, I'm coming to the end of the message, I'm just telling you something, that this message is the message that most of the people who claim to follow me have not received. But those who have understood it, I always sense them because I can see this is a real shepherd. Yeah. I mean, some are lay pastors, some are full time. But if you get this one, you have got the basis of ministry. The basis of ministry. You know, Kenneth Hagin, he said one day he visited a church and the pastor gave him a place to stay. And where he was staying, I don't know how it was, but he could hear the pastor in his office counseling. I don't know why they said there was the wall was very thick, so he could hear what they were saying. And he said that he would listen, and people would come to see the pastor, and they would talk to the pastor. He said complex things, and he used to wonder, what is the pastor going to say to these people with these problems, you know? But he said that the pastor always knew what to say. Yeah. And he said that if you stay with the people will stay with you. Yeah. You know, people don't want to. So how do you get this person? Because a person is more valuable than money. A person, a soul. And these are the souls that Jesus died for. When I see people who have no care for anybody, I see like an iron heart. An iron heart that doesn't care about anybody. Yeah. But when you see a shepherd who cares for the people, the preaching is based on the care. The talking is based on the care. It's not based on delivering a good message. It has given me sheep everywhere in the world. 92 countries and still counting. Where are yours? Yes. That are connected. I want to encourage you. No more dwelling carelessly. It makes God not treat you specially. Yes. No more taking it for granted. This great work of being a shepherd. All those who are lay pastors, arise from your slumber. Arise from your slumber. The older ones, arise from your slumber and care for the people. God really loves his people. I tell you, that story of Jesus Christ talking to Peter after he rose from the dead, is the story. It's like telling me your mother who is dead or your father who is dead came back, sat in your room, and had a conversation with you. Asked you, do you love me? No, you don't love me. If you love me, do this. Do you love me? No, no, no. The man was dead, and he has recorded the story of the Jesus rising from the dead and coming back to talk about shepherding. And before Jesus died, he said, everybody you gave me, I've kept them all. I've not lost even one of these people. They're all with me still. They're all with me. Except the son of perdition. That's why I even believe that a lot of people that have left, many of them have come to say sorry. And a lot of people even who have left now will come back. Yes. It's only a son of perdition that you lose. And it's not a common thing to be a son of perdition. It's not common. Sons of perdition are few. It's a rare thing. It's not anointing. You know, one day a pastor told me he's been invited to preach. And I told him something. I said, look, when you go, I sense that he wanted to perform. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wanted to do what? Perform. Like he's really ministered well. Powerfully. Forget about performing. Forget about performing. Care. Care for the Lord and care for the people. I've rarely been invited anywhere that I was not invited back. Over and over and over, until I myself say I can't come. Yes. This is the center of all ministry. Anybody who calls yourself a pastor in this church, this is the center to care for the people, to pray, to do the caring, the visiting, praying, interaction from your heart until you are tired, until it is repetitive, until your energy is gone, your time is consumed, until you can see that, I mean, no one supervises you to care for somebody. Yes. This is the call of God. I'm telling you, if you ask me, what am I at the base? My first love is shepherding. That's why I started the First Love Church. Because the Holy Spirit said to me, go back to your first love. My first love, I go for weddings. Yesterday I was at a wedding. My first love. I do marriage counseling in my first love. But I love to talk to people and try to help them to do well and to be happy. Most people are not happy. In my first love, as I'm caring for people, I will try to help them to have beloveds. Yeah. It's natural for me. That's shepherding. Yeah. You know that when you help somebody to marry, and I mean the marriage works, they always look to you and say, if it was not for this person, I will not be married. Yeah. Or if it was not for this, I could not even stay married. Yeah. Don't shy away from this work. Oh. This is the greatest. If you ask me, what the greatest center of all my ministries, being a shepherd. But I realize that when I start talking about it, people start yawning. Yes, it's amazing. Because I realize that is the real love. And it's the love for God that we don't have. We don't have love for God. To stand in the pulpit and be famous, we have it. But to love people and to care for people, to search for them, to think about them, to think about them, to think about them, how to see them, how to talk to them, how to have time for them, how to love them. That's the part you see that people don't have that part. That's the part they don't have. To stand in the pulpit and be famous, yes. But to care for the people, no. Are they lost? Are they okay? Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? Where are they? Where are they? Many years ago, some of you know Bishop Blake in America, in California. He came to Ghana with a team, a whole bus, one or two buses full of African Americans. He came to Ghana. When he arrived, we met him at the VIP at the airport. And we were leaving. So from the VIP, he said, no, where are my people, please? I said, we told him they are being taken care of. Oh, no, I need to be sure. He left. I said, we went to see them. Is everybody okay? Have you got your luggage? Everybody okay? That's a shepherd, though. That's why he has that huge church in California. That's why Denzel Washington and all those guys go to his church and Stevie Wonder. And nobody goes to your church. He left the VIP. Went to check people's luggage. Are you okay? It's like, I mean, an old man. Are you okay? Is everybody okay? He has a private, we're in a private car. He always wants to go to the bus to see that everybody's okay in the bus. That's the shepherd. That's the heart that people don't have. And you don't know that is where you are demonstrating the love of God, because that's the love that Jesus has for his people, but he doesn't have anybody to show that love to them. When we pray for the nations, I just imagine if there was a shepherd in Thailand, a shepherd in this country who is talking to the people, loving the people, helping them, showing them something, talking to them. Oh, if only they'll get somebody. I pray that you will take up this opportunity, you know, and become a shepherd. So, me and my little family, your little family can turn, all your children can become monsters. All can become uncontrollable if you don't know. And that's why Jesus said, these are my children. Care for my children. Look after my... Pray for them. Pray for them. Visit them. Talk to them. Rub them for me. Do you know a shepherd is supposed to... You see the sheep standing there. If you kill him, he will be killed. What you do to him, he will be to be done. That's why wicked people can do bad things to sheep. But the shepherd is supposed to take oil and pour it. Thou anointest my head with oil. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd anoints me with oil. That shepherd in the Middle East, they take this oil and they pour it on the sheep and rub them. And the oil, the smell of the oil drives away the flies. So the sheep are harassed by the flies and the itching. But thou anointest my head with oil, wraps them. So you wrap them, you feed them, you wrap them, you care for them, you protect them. That's where loyalty and all these things come in. It's to protect the sheep from wicked wolves. I want to encourage you to believe in shepherding. I can say, you know, I don't want to say something bad, but I feel a large number of people who are called pastors, they don't understand anything about shepherding. They don't have the feeling from the heart. They've not allowed that feeling to enter. The post, yes. Get a post, be called pastor, be called reverend, be called this, yes. Wear collar, wear this, wear this, wear this. Look at me, how many times do I wear collar? How many times do I wear those bishop, all those things? What is the use of all these dresses if you are not really a shepherd in your heart? The Bible says, let them make garments to consecrate Aaron and his sons. In other words, to make the garments and the garments separate him to the job. Make him really separated to such a work for me. Not to make him better than other people, but to show that he's been separated for the work of God. Prosperity, it comes from God. The help, it comes from God. God notices our heart and he sees. So I want to encourage everybody who is listening to me, both officially appointed pastors and not appointed. When you are genuinely a pastor, you don't need a post. You don't need a title. You don't need nothing. And I can tell you, every title I've taken, it was to bring order in the church. I needed it to bring order. But not that who I am. Hallelujah. So, receive the mantle of a shepherd. Yes. Receive the caring. Let the iron spirit that you have be softened into a soft mantle of a carer. Somebody who cares about people. Receive that grace. Receive that ability. And receive that interest. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let never come out of your mouth, I'm tired. Or I'm tired of these people. Or I'm tired of this thing. No, no, no. That is all that God has prepared you for. To be a carer and a lover of the people of God. And the people that are saved and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Receive the principal anointing. Yes. The principal first anointing. The anointing of a shepherd. Yeah. Yeah. Receive the grace to have more children than your own children. Receive the grace to carry the people. To carry the people. Receive the grace to carry them. To carry them on your bosom. Carry them on your shoulders. Carry them above the waters. Carry them when they are drowning. Carry them when they are going down. When nothing is working. Carry them when they are drowning. Receive the grace to dive, to dive, to dive, to dive and save those who are in the waters. Receive the grace to rescue from dragons, from wicked men, wicked wolves, the sheep that Jesus loves. Receive the power to be a shepherd of many. Receive a shining face like the face of Moses. Ah, a shepherd of God's people, faithful in his house. Receive the first love, the first love, the first love. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Receive that grace. Peter, do you love me? Receive him. Receive the grace. Receive the heart of Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Receive that heart. From Jesus. Receive that heart, little girl. Receive that heart, little boy. And let your eyes and your mind go beyond your own little problems and your own life till the lives of others become your life and the concerns of others become your concerns. Receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus, Savior of the world. I am the good shepherd. And you shall also be a good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for everybody that has been a part of this service. And I thank you that you will use everyone here to do your great work of shepherding. We are rising, Lord. Every standing, stand in your house. Lift your hands. You are rising and rising into work. You are rising into work. Shepherding will not be something far from you. No, 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 no. You'll be a keeper of sheep. a shepherd of his people. You work until you are tired. You work until you have spent your money, your own money, to care for the people. You work until you have spent energy. You've worked until your time is gone. Until people say, wonder what job you are doing. Father, I thank you for all those that are part of this great commission to be shepherds like never before. Bless the lives of all true shepherds and let them grow up to see that loving you and loving your people is the same thing. We receive the love, Lord. For how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen, when the one you can see, you have no love for the person? Thank you for raising up true shepherds. Receive the grace and receive the power in Jesus' name. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ? Pastor, pray with me. But before we do that, I feel the shepherd anointing. Listen, look at me, everybody. Look on your screen. You know, there is a feeling I feel here for sheep. I wish you also have that feeling. Place your hand on your belly. Father, give everyone watching that feeling for people and for the sheep that you've called us to. Give them a heart, a feeling for the people, that they will not be lost, that they will not perish, that they will not be forsaken, that they will not go astray. Give everyone watching that spirit, that heart of a shepherd. And I thank you for what you have done, Lord. I thank you for your power that has entered every life, every person, every pastor, every person. The feeling, Lord, that I have, Lord, that comes to me when I see, even from any country, and I see the people, Lord, I dream about them and I feel for them something. I wish for them to be cared for and to be preached to and to be loved. That is an anointing, Lord. Let that come upon everyone watching right now. Receive that impartation and be filled with the grace of God upon your life. To be a great shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. And I give you that grace today. In Jesus' name. Amen. As every head is bowed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Cleanse me from every evil. Cleanse me from my sin. From today, I am born again. I give my soul and my heart and my life to you, Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray this prayer, please look on the screen. There's a number, plus 233, which is Ghana. And then 56056. Or 033-3079. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. God bless you. Father, thank you for the blessing of being shepherds today. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Holy Communion. I want you to take your Holy Communion. Take your bread. Amen. You may be seated actually for a moment. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 9. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth. The manna is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven, and gavest them water for their thirst. Verse 21. Yea, 40 years thou didst sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Amen. Thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and divide them into corners. Right now, as we take the bread, he says, you sustained them. Amen. And withheld not your manna, and they lacked nothing, and their feet swelled not. Your feet swelling is, first of all, old age. Huh? Kidney disease, liver disease, heart disease, different types of cancers, malnutrition can cause that. Hypoproteinemia. Almost every sickness can lead to foot swelling. So that one symptom that he mentioned has covered your blood, because it's something from your blood. You get it? Yes. Something from your kidneys, livers, heart. What again? And when the foot is swollen, there can be chest, water in the chest, water in the stomach, water in the legs. So that symptom alone speaks of total healing, the absence of that one thing. Amen. And today, as we take the bread, may this be your portion. Standing, every standing. Father, we stand in the wilderness and receive our manna, divine provision. For those who believe it, it is a true blessing. And we thank you. Heal us and bless us as we receive the bread that came down from heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, take the wine, the blood, the right to be forgotten, the right for your sins to be forgotten and remembered no more. Father, we lift up the blood. Let our sins be forgotten as far as the east is from the west. And let us receive your mercy and your love and your healing. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. May you have a good spirit and a good heart. May your heart be able to receive the anointing of the shepherd, the mysterious anointing, which few people have, is actually the grace of Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus had, receive it now. For he sent his son to save you, to heal you, and to deliver you. Be blessed with that anointing to rise to your highest place in the ministry. I release you from your past. I release you from your mistakes. I release you from your sins. And in place of your wretchedness, you shall love the Lord and you shall love his people. May this blessedness be upon you and your life. Whatever represents a sickness and a disease, receive healing, receive forgiveness. May your sins be remitted today and now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.